Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly. Whether you are a leader or individual contributor, a teacher or a nurse, we'll share conversations and stories that highlight meaningful connections, self-awareness, a sense of belonging, and all the components necessary to create a workplace where you can show up in your authentic energy. Welcome back. I took a few weeks off this month. As my business is growing, it's getting more difficult to manage all of the things on my own. And while this podcast may sound professionally produced, I mean, it actually is professionally produced. I want to give my husband some shout out because he really helps produce this show. We do everything between the two of us. I do all the editing. I write and record the intros and outros, but Steve pulls it all together and then it gets pushed out to all the channels. So I cut myself a little slack the last few weeks as I've been onboarding new clients and continuing to work on my sales efforts, you know, the things that actually pay the bills. So, okay, enough behind the scenes stuff. I'm excited to introduce a new series to you today. Whitney and I have come back together to record another series that really picks up where we left off with the seed series. If you haven't listened to that series yet, I encourage you to pause this and go start there. The seed series introduces you to awareness, which is really the first step in making any change, big or small. Today, we're going to talk about sowing these seeds. So the Sow series is about taking that awareness to the next level. I do not have a green thumb. Thankfully, Whitney has a certification as a master gardener, so at least one of us knows what we're talking about. But actually, the series really has nothing to do with gardening, except for the great analogy to change. Through the series, we're going to identify the seeds of change, really understand what it means to have the desire to change. So once you have that awareness, then it takes desire to actually make a change. And that's the intent of this first episode. Then we'll seek to understand the landscape by assessing risk. Next, we'll select a location to plant the seeds by taking a look at opportunities that may be in front of us. And we'll prepare the soil, then let nature take its course. That is sowing the seeds. Now that you have had a horticulture overview, let's get on with the episode. I hope you enjoy. Well, welcome back to Authentic Energy. Whitney and I are back. Whitney, welcome back.
So good to be back.
I am so excited. We wrapped up our seed series a few weeks back and we are on to the next thing. So let's just recap for anyone that's joining this episode and did not catch the seed series. You have to go back and listen. It's really insightful and chock full of little nuggets of great information that Whitney and I share. And just to recap, really, we talked about the seeds of awareness and really starting with your values and then understanding how your thoughts and feelings then create actions. And that if you want to make a change, that's really, those are the seeds that make it happen.
Yeah. The pieces on awareness are really foundational to all the places we're going to go next. So really thinking through, you know, why do I feel tension here? What doesn't feel good about this situation? How am I actually feeling about this situation? And so if you haven't had the opportunity to listen, those six episodes are really great at helping to build that piece of you so that as we go into this next series, you can apply those skills.
Yeah. And we're continuing with the gardening theme. We've given you some seeds. Now we're going to sow the seeds and then we'll eventually grow the seeds. But right now we're going to really dig into sowing. And I don't know, Whitney, do you garden or do you have a green thumb?
We've talked about this before. I'm sort of obsessed with certification. So I did go through a master gardener certification class, but that doesn't mean that I keep things alive. That just means I know why they die.
So yeah.
I'm pretty, I, and being in Texas, we're in Austin, we just had something like 65 days over 100. So it's difficult to always keep things thriving in that kind of environment. So it's important to know how to get things to thrive, even in environments that may not be perfect for what you're trying to do.
Yeah. So I do not have a green thumb. I don't even try anymore. Shout out to my mother-in-law, though, who is amazing at it. But everything is so delicate, like you said, in this climate. She has a greenhouse and puts in a lot of effort to keep things alive. So that's not exactly what we're talking about today, but we're using that as an analogy because I think it fits. We all want to grow and learn in life. Like, I'm a continuous learner. I know you are as well. This series, the So series, is really about picking and identifying the change that needs to happen, and then understanding the landscape, where you're going to plant your seeds, selecting a location, preparing the soil, and then really letting nature take its course. So that's what we have in store for this series. I'm excited to get started. So let's start talking about selecting the seeds.
Yes. Desire. What do we want to do?
We all go through change and transformation throughout our lives. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's big transformation. But I think it's helpful to kind of talk about, how do you know when it's time to make a change? Sometimes a change is forced on you, as we've talked about before, and sometimes you get to make that decision. But it's not always super clear on when you should make a move or not.
Yeah. And I think we talked a little bit about how, you know, leaning back into our frameworks from the seed series, is there are probably two ways. The first one is that feeling of friction, like something isn't quite right. And I feel this like gnawing feeling or poking in my side or whatever that is, would be one. And the other one would be something's delightful and it keeps coming up for you.
Yeah.
And so you get really excited when you go down the rabbit hole researching this thing or seeing this place or something about something in your life that just really like turns up the dial on interest.
Yeah. I recently experienced some friction in my life when I was, and it's a small, like this is a really an example of a small thing, but I had an opportunity to become a part of a group of women that get together regularly once a week. It's an online group. And my first thought when this came up was, oh my God, why do I want to spend time with a group of women? You know, that I don't have time for that. And it came up for me a couple times as my friend was asking if I wanted to do this. And I realized that that was a negative friction, but maybe I needed to do something about that. What was my hesitation from spending time with some wonderful women? And so I went ahead and joined the group because I thought, well, this friction is there for a reason. Let's jump right in. And I did. And it is an amazing group of women. And I have met new friends and learned so much. And I think, and we've talked a little bit about this too, like, I think what was coming up for me was what I've been taught throughout my life, that you have to compete. You know, in the corporate space, we compete with other women, with men. And that was showing up for me in a, you know, and I wasn't aware of it. So once I became aware and dove in, I'm really glad that I did.
Yeah. So I love that example, because I think often when we think about change, we think about, you know, feeling kind of disgruntled at work or in a relationship or something in our lives, or you want to learn how to garden. And so you go and start a new hobby and go to a certification class, you know, so there are these goods and bads, but sometimes that negative emotion that you feel isn't about risk. It's about a judgment that you're making that you want to adapt, that you want to change about you, that you want to feel differently about. And so you're actually applying those seeds, right? You were having a thought and you were like, why am I having that thought? How's that thought making me feel? And it's in the action that I would follow through is I'm never joining that group. But you went back and went, what if I had a different thought? How could this serve me in a different way? How could I take this moment and go the other direction and embrace this group? What would I benefit from if I did that? And leapt in and with really great results. And now your perspective has shifted and your lens has opened.
100%. And I don't know that I would have done this a year ago. But you know, when we start talking about, is the soil prepared for these seeds? You know, I mean, I feel like I've done so much work over the last year that this was, I could take a look at this seed and see that I wanted to make that change. So that's an example of a small change, but there's a lot, you know, I think you can apply the same framework to larger changes.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I guess you can take that example that you used and that, you know, I mentioned career, and that's like the biggest things that we deliberate over are career changes or personal changes with a relationship or something of that nature. And so if you're going into work every day and you see, you have this meeting on your calendar and it's like a weekly stand up or a weekly, whatever it is, staff meeting. And you're like, oh, if I have to go to this one more time, you know, if you flip the way that you think about that, how could I benefit from this? How could I engage this differently? How could I, you know, you could change the moment you're in, you could change the way you feel about the role that you're in, you could find happiness in place, or you could decide that it's enough friction that I actually want to not do this anymore, that I would like to move on to something different. And you could dig into what the aspects are about that moment that are where you're feeling friction. So kind of leaning back to the idea of values and beliefs. So if there's something there that is not working for you, maybe the meeting always starts 15 minutes late and you really care about timeliness and about managing your priorities, and this group of people does not. And so every time you go here, it triggers you. You know, it could be something as simple as a values friction, but it could also be, man, I'm not delighted by this work. And so it's rote. I'm doing the same thing over and over. This isn't, you know, it's not feeding me. And so finding different ways to go after that or find some creativity in that moment. How could you add more creativity into it? So I think those are the things. Some things are not overcomable because there's too much friction and the decision, and we'll talk about that next time, I think, is how to move on. But understanding what that discomfort or delight is.
Yeah. And I love what you said about creativity. And I think that's how we can move or try to understand if a change is right or not, is really, it's sometimes we need to step out of that left brain, like overanalyzing the whole situation and going round and round and spinning it at night before you go to bed, and really feel into, how am I feeling? Right. I know what thoughts I'm having, like, I don't like this, but how is it making me feel? And maybe how would I rather feel?
What would have to be true for me to feel that way?
Yeah. As you said, you can change the way you feel and think about going and having that meeting that's running 15 minutes late, talking to the person that schedules it, or, you know, doing something about it versus just checking out, you know. We can control that.
Yeah. So say something feels good or doesn't feel good, because either you're met with a lot of resistance or something feels really natural. So when you find yourself in the situation or with this group of people, it just feels like it clicks. How do you know that you should pursue that? Like, not talking risk, but just like, if you're an ideator or a creative, or even if you're just sort of bored, you could get 1,000 ideas a day. And if you follow all of them, then you're going to be really busy chasing rabbits. So how do you decide, hey, this is actually something that I should pay attention to and that maybe I should follow up on? And that could be like the things we've already talked about, but it could also be like, man, I really need to change my health routine or watch less Netflix, read more books. So it doesn't necessarily have to be like an earth-shattering thing. It could be, you know, how you sprinkle things throughout your life, but like, how do you choose that?
Yeah. And I think it goes back to getting to know your gut and your intuition. And not like, for me, again, because of the last year of work I've done, I feel like I've trust my intuition a little bit more. but it was shut off. And I feel like I was so in my left brain for so long. It's taken me a while to be able to trust that gut.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say is, and everyone, you know, this is different for everybody, but that spirituality, you know, whether it's, you know, praying to a higher power or the, you know, trusting the universe and asking the universe to bring, you know, show signs or asking your higher power to show you signs. I mean, I think those are not to get too, I think I say woo-woo. I think you say voodoo.
Voodoo.
Yeah. Voodoo. Yeah. Not to get too hoodoo.
Well, what I love about this is I think the Seed series is very much about thoughts, emotions. So head and heart, right? So we really go head, heart, and that leads us to action. But there is another step in there. And that step is you sort of gut check it, right? So it's head, heart, and gut. So do I think it's right? Do I feel it's right? Or in my heart, but then you sort of go, and what does my intuition tell me? And like you said, a lot of people access that in different ways, depending on what your belief system is. But it's really a check on, does it line up for you in however you connect to the universe, whether that's through God or energy or whatever that is, and saying, is this my path? And so there is sort of this third check that all of us do. And, you know, you walk into some place and you're like, this place doesn't feel right. That's not your head and that's not your heart. That's your gut, like leave. So I do think that third check is I'm not going to lie, but all of us do it. So a very good call out is pressure test. And one of the other things is, so it feels a certain way and it's persistent. So, you know, you walk into a place, you're like, that doesn't quite feel right. And then you start to pay attention. What doesn't feel right? Does it still not feel right? I think the last thing is sort of engaging that right brain and playing it through. So, you know, the what if, so you check in on your intuition and go, okay, so this feels good, doesn't feel good. If I play this through, this is how I see it playing out. And that really matters because your belief, it goes back to belief. So can I achieve this? Will this work out for me? You know, that has a lot to do with what you thought that end result will be and then what your expectation you're setting for yourself is. So that what if part, even though we do it sort of in a flash, is important to what we believe the outcome will be.
I love that. And I love that you tied all three of those together, you know, the mind, the heart, and the gut, and the what if, and also about what would it feel like if, right? What could change? What would it look like if this happened? But what would it feel like? And that might get you into that gut more of how would that feel?
Right. And so what you're saying is you don't process the risk. So at this point, we're just thinking about, okay, so I work in a office job today. What if I decided that I wanted to be a gardener? And, you know, what are the things that would benefit me if I did that? Well, I get to be outside all day, have my hands in the dirt. I could see the real results of what I'm doing. So I get to see the plants actually grow and thrive and fruit and do all the things. I'd work with a lot of people who are pretty grounded because they're in the dirt all day. So it would be, we'd all be working toward the same goal, a beautiful environment. So, you know, there are advantages to that without discussing the risk, right? Obviously there are a lot of risks to making a job change like that, but we're not talking about that today. So we're still in the, what if could I, you know, how would this benefit my life?
I think that's some great homework.
Oh, I love homework.
I think if our listeners want to try this on in the next week, you know, to really, if there's something that's coming up for you that it's persistent, negative or positive, that you want to make a change, and ask yourself, what if, and just list out all of the possibilities of making that change. And again, like you said, not assessing the risk. I think we're going to talk about that next week, but really, what are all of the benefits? What's the positive side? What's the upside of making this change?
Right. In the spirit of picking the seeds or desire, what is the desire trigger that you're feeling? So you're, you know, okay, yeah, okay, this comes up for me. To what advantage? Why would this be good?
Yeah. Exciting. Wonderful. Yeah. I think it's a great exercise. It's really in what I did without thinking about it. I didn't have the homework, but when I thought about that group of women and then just asked myself, what if I went for it? How would that feel? And that's an example too of negative things coming up, because there were still negative things that came up for me, but
what if it's amazing?
Yeah. Right.
what if I make lifelong friendships? What if I make connections that inspire me in ways I didn't imagine?
Yes.
What if?
Wonderful. Well, I am excited about this, about our So series. Thank you so much. This is fun. I'm excited we're doing this again.
Me too. It's so good to see you, Wendy.
Yeah, good to see you.
I hope you enjoyed the first episode of our So series. All right, here are my takeaways. Two ways that a desire to change may be sparked in you. Either something isn't quite right in your life, or there's something persistent, delightful, and intriguing calling you to make a change. Number two, sometimes even if you bump up against a negative feeling when you're considering trying something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. Sometimes it's not about a risk that you're sensing. It's about a judgment you are making about that thing. Number three, ask yourself, what if this actually felt good to do? How could I benefit by trying this thing? Number four, career changes and relationship changes are probably the two largest areas where we typically face change. We can think about how we could reframe the place we are, or we can uncover what values may be in friction with the situation. Number five, before making a change, we may need to listen to our gut, a higher power, the universe, wherever it is that you go to seek guidance. Number six, how do you know if you should pursue something new? In addition to checking your thoughts and feelings, your head and heart, you can also start checking in with your intuition. And that can be gut, prayer, asking the universe for signs, etc. Number seven, you can also engage the right brain and play it through. Can I achieve this? Will it work out for me? Don't process the risk, but just see how it feels or think through what it would look like and feel like to be in that new situation. The homework for today is to try on a change. What is that desired trigger that you are having? And why would it be good to make this change? Thank you for joining us as always. If you are not already subscribed, please go and follow us on whatever platform where you listen to your podcasts. So great having you along for the ride. Thanks for being here.